Well, thank you for joining us for our podcast today. This is a series of podcasts on icons from the industry, and today we got a great person, Brian Sagristano. I'm sure you know Brian. If not, you need to look him up and read some of his work. You know, I guess in a sense, Brian, we're supposed to be competitors, but I don't feel that way. I feel like we're people on the same mission. It reminds me of something I read recently, that if I light my candle and I light your candle, it doesn't diminish my light. Brian is a great professional and someone that I look up to and respect. And, you know, it's one, he's a person filled with integrity and not only wisdom and knowledge, but with integrity. And, you know, if you work in this industry long enough, Brian, you get to know who these people are, don't you?
You sure do. You sure do.
So, Brian, thanks for taking time with us today, and I'm going to ask you really two simple questions that really can have a profound impact. Number one is, what have you learned that's really made a difference?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Eddie, and I appreciate your asking me that question, because over the years, you really do evolve as a professional, and in my case, as a fundraiser and a gift planner. And for me, a lot of things changed in 2014, because in 2014, I went from just being, you know, another gift planner who did that work for a number of years, and I was diagnosed at the time with a very rare form of cancer, which sort of changed my worldview in that it made me think about things from, it brought my mortality into focus is probably the best way to think about that. And it allowed me to really change how I worked. And from 14 through 17, it really did profoundly impact my work. But I was fortunate that I received treatment and I went into remission and was good. And unfortunately, in 17, the end of 17, the cancer came back with a bit more of a vengeance. And so I'm fighting that fight today and continue to fight it. But it really does bring your mortality into question. And you say to yourself, okay, how does this impact my donors? How does this impact my work with them? And what it allowed me to do was to have a much stronger sense of empathy for people who are faced with not just that situation, but anybody who's in the process of thinking about their long-term plans. Mm-hmm. Because whenever somebody starts to really think about their long-term plans, they have to and they do it in a way that involves charity as a major participant and involves how they're thinking about their family if they happen to have children. It really impacts for them how their planning is going to, you know, what their lifeline is going to be, what their life cycle is going to be. And they have to deal with this question of, you know, what is my mortality? When will I pass? What will this mean for my family, for my children? How do I make choices that impact charity? And many of them are elevating charity to the level of a family member, making some really significant gifts to charity. And that sense of limit, that my life only has a certain span to it, impacts their thinking. And to me, probably the greatest benefit I got from going through what I've been going through for the last now 5 years has been a much greater empathy for individuals who are facing that or thinking about that, or it's just somewhere in the back of their mind, or worst case scenario, they haven't ever thought about it and they really need to think about it as they start to do some more long-term planning for themselves and their family, and again, how that impacts the giving that they want to do, the charities that have been meaningful in their life.
You know, and we're all either we are facing it or we're going to face it, you know, where you get the diagnosis of cancer or Alzheimer's or, you know, something that shakes you. I mean, Brian and I have talked about our family's experience with cancer and death. And one of the things, Brian, that I would add to what you're saying is that you have been a real guide in how to work through this. And you are respected for not just your past, but your present. And your comments right there are just incredibly wise. It shapes everything, doesn't it? Once you get that diagnosis and especially cancer, which scares all of us when you first hear that word. And do you find that it has shaped your charitable planning?
It absolutely has. I think both the charitable planning that my wife and I have done, as well as the charitable planning that I help my clients and donors I work with to do. Because I think that, personally for my wife and I, interestingly enough, it caused us to accelerate some of our planning choices. Because we said, we would like to see some of this get to work while we're still here.
Yep.
And so we had certain organizations that we had intended to benefit, some of which are now benefiting right now, while there's a group of others that we've actually, they moved away from the priority list and became a group of charities that we said, we're not really close to them anymore. We haven't been in touch with them for a period of time. And so they actually fell off the priority list. And so I think in some ways I look at myself as a case study and say, that's going to happen with all organizations. And if you don't stay in close connection with your donors, that some will fall away. And indeed with us, that's what happened. There were several that kind of took us for granted, and now they're no longer benefiting as we're making these, what I would call end of life choices. I just happen to be doing it 25 years sooner than anybody expected.
Well, yeah, it's true. Well, let me just make us, really practical, because Cheryl and I experienced the very same thing, identical. But let me ask you, for those who are listening, who are not going through this, who have never experienced it, how do you approach someone who is facing it?
I wish that there was one right answer to that question. I think that there are some people who are facing a terminal diagnosis or a very serious diagnosis that may or may not be terminal, that some of those people are very, they kind of shut down and they don't want to deal with things on the outside, and they don't want to manage things like charitable giving or their finances. And so in a lot of ways, you feel like it's almost too late to reach that particular group of people. But I would argue that that's probably a pretty small subset of people who get news like this. I think that the majority of people who get news like this, and certainly I've talked to a lot of them now in different peer groups and support groups that I have, do want to get things in order, but they tend to be able to, they have certain things they got to take care of first and second, third. And then when they're finally ready to deal with this, they're ready to deal with this. And so you want to be there for them, be supportive of them, be consistently reaching out to them. And when they're ready, they'll say, hey, I'm ready, and let's get this done. And they'll want to move quickly on it.
I hope people are listening, Brian. This is so full of wisdom.
Now, I tell you, for me as a fundraiser, it was a real eye opener, because as we went through this process, okay, I'm ready to deal with this. I'm ready to deal with this. I'm ready to deal with this. And we recently relocated to another state. We were in New York, and now we're in Pennsylvania. And I have to say that I now need to draft new estate planning documents. And so that's going to happen not today, not tomorrow, but it's going to happen before the end of the year. And when that time comes, I'll be reaching out to the organizations that I've been involved with and saying, okay, here's what's happening. Here's the plan. Here's the change. And I'll need them to react quickly, because I'll want to be moving through that to move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. It's you want to get your affairs in order. And if you don't hear back from somebody for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the process is going to be finished.
That's exactly right. So if I ask you one quick follow-up question. So it sounds like you're saying that you need to give them time to digest the information they've just received, but stay close, and that people who have charitable intent will let you know when it's ready if you're close to them.
Eddie, I think you're spot on. I think that's spot on how I would describe it for the vast majority of people. Like I said, there's a few that just don't want to deal with this at all, but the vast majority, I think that's how they feel.
Yep. I know that's been our experience. Let me ask you one other question, and I know I'm keeping you longer than I promised, Brian, so I apologize, but this is just great wisdom here. What's one mistake you've made, and what did you learn from it?
Boy, to limit it to one mistake is hard, Eddie.
I know. You have made many. You know, I tell people all the time that Casey, one of my partners, says that we built a great company on all of Eddie's mistakes. I wish they could think of another way of saying it. But
well, it's really the truth. The more mistakes you make, it's the more opportunities you have to learn. And so I think that, you know, people shouldn't be afraid of making mistakes. They should embrace the mistake because it does. It gives you the opportunity to learn something new.
Yes.
For sure. I would say that for me, early on in my career, I really fell in love with the tools and the vehicles and the taxes and all of the technical aspects of what we do. But then at the end, when I finally reached a point where the light bulb went on, it was that it's really not about any of that. It's really about the donor, what they want to accomplish for themselves, their family, their future, for the organizations that they believe in. And then how can we apply tools help them. To me, that is the ultimate in what we do. And I at first was so focused on the tools and on the organization I was working for that I didn't see that forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. And now that I do, when I work with donors, I always talk to them about their overall plan and their overall strategy and how they can accomplish what they want to accomplish. And they're always surprised when I say, and don't worry about the particular organization I'm here to represent. I really just want to talk to you about you and your goals and your objectives. The organizational piece will take care of itself. They're always shocked and surprised. But the fact is that most people don't just have one organization they want to support. And when you are honest with them and you say, hey, I'm here to help you achieve your goals and don't worry about the organization will be taken care of. And that you'll create trust, which allows people to make the really significant gifts that make a huge difference to the life of not-for-profits all across the country. And so to me, that's the biggest lesson I probably take out of that early on mistake. And I definitely handle myself in a completely different way now than I did when I started 25 years ago, just because it was a different mentality then. And I've learned from that mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, that is an important one to learn. I got burned on it too. Brian, you're great. And appreciate you as a person, as a professional. I really appreciate you sharing wisdom today with us. Found that you really address some profound things to think about. And we really appreciate you as a person, Brian. You're a good man. You're not only a well-recognized professional, but you're a good man. You're solid.
I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Eddie, as I always do, and to share this with your audience. And hope that there's a little bit of wisdom somewhere in all that.
I think it was great. Well, everybody, thank you for joining Brian and me today on this podcast. We look forward to you joining us on others when we speak to icons of our industry. Hope you have a great day and hope this has been profitable.